Final hour on this Wednesday, DVD, Jake Lyman and Derek Mason with you. Today, we're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We've been talking Titans, draft scenarios, free agency scenarios most of the show, and we're going to put it all together here in the final hour. I want to know, what is your ideal scenario for the Titans this offseason? And this goes out to everybody listening. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Text or call. We want to hear from you. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. In May, when really the player acquisition period of the offseason is over, there will be some stragglers who come out throughout the summer. But in May, after the draft is over, what do you want to see the Titans have done to get this team back on track, whether that's for next year or for the long term? Does that include a free agent quarterback? Does that include drafting a quarterback? Does that include trading down? Whatever you think the Titans need to do to get out of the cellar where they are right now, we want to know. 615-737-1025. D-Mace, we've been talking about this, about the possibilities at number one, but where do you see the Titans needing to go this offseason? It starts with quarterback, but obviously a lot of other holes that they need to fill with the limited resources they have.
Well, first and foremost, they need to fill the GM vacancy. Obviously, I understand that listen, he's going to be, he or she may just end up being the ghost GM or just the suit and not an actual person that has any true sway in how they're going to draft and how, you know, how they're going to go out and search for free agency. But I still want them to have a GM in place first.
Yeah, and we don't really know what that's going to look like because they've said that Chad Brinker is the president of football operations. He has the tie-breaking power when it comes to Brian Callahan and the new GM.
Supreme ruler of football.
Yes, the supreme ruler of football. But the NFL also reviewed the position and said that it is the primary football executive, which allowed the Titans to request these interviews with high-ranking officials and not have them denied. So the NFL seems to think that the GM is still going to operate like a typical general manager does. Does that mean, like, on draft night, are we going to get Brian Callahan and Ghost GM? Or is it going to be Brian Callahan and Chad Brinker up there? Is it going to be all three of them? It is interesting to look at how this is all going to work out in that way. But the Titans interviewing candidates over this week, two yesterday, two today, two tomorrow, you would think maybe by the weekend we have a final decision on who that GM is.
Well, I hope so. You know, take it to the bank. Is it my take it to the bank?
Yeah, you said by Friday.
By Friday, before the end of the show, they will decide on their GM. So I hope.
I think you're going to be right.
From that standpoint, they do find their GM.
Because it's going to end tomorrow is the last second round of interviews. You would think that maybe that night they convene, talk about it, and then maybe Friday morning they make the call to whoever they're offering the job. I think you might be right. I think Friday would be a good target for the Titans to have a new general manager.
Yeah, just don't do it at the end of the day like a dump. So can't nobody talk about it until the next following Monday. Do it before 2. Even if you do it at 1:59. I still win. So, Titans, please, if you're listening, I know you are somebody over there.
Do it at 2:01.
They're not doing it at 1:58.
They're not going to do that because they don't want Jared to be the first one to react.
See, that's something Jared would say. That, oh, no, they're going to wait till after my show to do it. I don't know if there's any truth to that or not.
There might be a little truth.
I don't know what is better for the Titans when it comes to Jared. Do you want Jared just raw right after the news comes out, getting his initial reaction? Or do you want Jared to have the whole weekend to plan and come up with these long mixes of previous things that you've said? The toxic positivity mix that he has and all that kind of stuff.
I think Jared has built-in scenarios already. For whoever gets hired, he's already, you know, formulated and put together his whether it's going to be his rant or his like acknowledgement of I like him. Let's move him forward. But the way it seems, he doesn't like many people on this list. That's not Dimitroff or Spielman, which I think Dimitroff and Spielman, they had their moments in the NFL. So it wasn't like they didn't do anything right. So first and foremost, they need to, you know, find themselves a GM. So there's no sort of there's not this, at least from the fan standpoint, there's not this, well, he drafted him because he didn't know, you know, he had just gotten to the process late and all this other stuff. No, decide on who you're going to be a GM, who's going to be the GM, so everyone can move in the same direction at the same time, so to speak, and not bring him or her in a little bit after the fact. Obviously, they're going to get a GM before the draft's even close to it.
But yes.
I'm just saying, so there's no built-in excuses here,
right?
For this franchise and what they choose to do with the number one pick. Ideally, looking at this situation, answering the question that Jake has put out there, I would love for them to move out of the number one spot and still be able to get the quarterback that they want. It may not be Shador, it may not be Cam, but it's somebody that you've scouted and you want. Just like Denver, they got Bo Nix. A lot of people didn't want Bo Nix. He wasn't even a top 12 guy or top 15 guy. But Denver saw something in him that he may have been the number one guy on their board.
Yeah.
And they were like, good, he feel right to us. We're going to take him at the spot that they're in and look at the success that they're having because – they have allowed this – they went out and they evaluated him. They brought him into a situation where they knew, okay, this is the process we're going to take with this young quarterback in order to have winning season. And they come off first year, a winning season, playoffs. They hadn't been in playoffs in a while.
Since they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, since Tom – I mean, not Tom
since
Brady, Peyton Manning.
Since 2016.
Yeah, yep. They hadn't been in the Super Bowl – I mean, in the playoffs since Peyton Manning.
And Bo Nix might have been – I think you can make an argument. Jaden Daniels has clearly been the best quarterback in his rookie season out of that class, but you can make an argument Bo Nix was number two. It's probably between him and Drake May.
Yeah, as far as team success, it would be Jaden Daniels and then Bo Nix. I think each quarterback showed in some form or fashion. Obviously, Nix and Daniels, we understand. You can see it. They led the team to the playoffs. But I think even Caleb Williams, Drake May, they have shown enough for their respective franchises to say, we need to build around these guys.
Even Michael Penix and his late success down the stretch, I think he showed that, hey, they made the right choice there at number eight, which that is the – number eight last year I think is the perfect example that as much as we talk about – and we're going to talk about it for 3 months about what the Titans are going to do in the draft and what's going to happen in the draft. No one knows. Did anybody have Michael Penix going in the top 10 last year? No. Did anyone have Bo Nix going at 12? No. The draft that was here, I remember I was out there on Broadway in 2019, the draft that was here, and the absolute silence when Cleveland Farrell got picked fourth. And now that was Mike Mayock, who made a lot of bad picks during his time as the Raiders GM. But Farrell got picked fourth, and then Daniel Jones went sixth, and that got even more of a shocked reaction from the crowd. So no one knows what's going to happen in the draft. But I think right now, before we go through the combine and Senior Bowl and free agency, the plan, I think, has to be in the minds of Chad Brinker and Brian Callahan right now of what is their plan at the quarterback position. And we're getting some texts on our text line talking about some other options, which we haven't really talked about yet. We did mention during the break, we were kind of going through an ideal scenario for the Titans if they don't draft a quarterback this year. And I mentioned Kirk Cousins could end up being the quarterback that they pick up. This texter says Kirk Cousins, draft a right tackle, an edge rusher, and a receiver. Maybe that's the best way to turn this thing around. If you get an Abdul Carter, you trade back, you set yourself up to get a quarterback next year, you draft your right tackle in the second round, you get a wide receiver in the third round, maybe a safety in free agency or in the fourth round. You could set up the quarterback that you eventually bring in to be in a better spot. But again, the question is, do you believe in Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders? If not, then maybe this is your best scenario.
Yeah, if you believe in those guys, then position yourself to take them.
Right.
If you don't believe that these are the two guys that I see lead my franchise, you may see Quinn Ewers. You may see McLeod.
Yeah.
You may see Dart. You may see Jennings as a guy that can lead your franchise. Well, okay, if that's the case, then you need to make sure that if you're moving out of that spot, you're still able to get impact players. Right now, you have, what, two picks in the top? Because they don't have a third. They don't have a third. You have two picks in the top 90.
Top 100. I believe 100. Their fourth-round pick would be 102, yeah, 103,
so
somewhere
so
in there.
So you got two picks in the top 100. You need more. You need more picks because this team desperately need players. So my thing is if you move out of that spot, which I think they should if they don't believe one of these quarterbacks are legitimately their guy, move out of that and get the guys that you want. Make sure you get more than three picks in the top 100 if you're moving out of that spot.
And we've seen it in 2016. The Titans traded out, and mm-hmm. a lot of those pieces that they picked up ended up being the pieces that built the Titans into a team that can make the AFC Championship mm-hmm. and be the number one seed in the AFC. So trade it. I think the safest move that you can do when you're picking high in the draft is trade back
mm-hmm.
because you get more throws at the dartboard, mm-hmm. which is always going to help you because, again, it's not an exact science drafting, but the more chances you get, the better chance that you that you get some players who are going to help you out. Another texter on our text line says, trade the second-round pick you have to the Vikings for J.J. McCarthy. Then trade back from number one, pick up a second and a third along with that team's first-round pick this year. So you probably wouldn't be moving back too far if you're only getting a second and a third. He says draft a true left tackle and move Latham back to the right side. I don't believe there is a true left tackle at the top of this draft.
No. And will Minnesota give up McCarthy for – a second-round pick?
I don't think so.
I don't.
After that Sam Darnold performance, I don't think he's
I don't think they will give up, you know, their who they think and drafted to be their potential franchise quarterback. They're not going to give him up for a second-round pick. You got to give them a first-round pick in order to get him.
The Vikings, I would I've done the Jared guarantees before. I won't guarantee this, but I think there is a 99% chance the Vikings hedge their bet mm-hmm. and franchise tag Sam Darnold because then you're not committing long-term to Sam Darnold, but you're giving yourself another year to evaluate him. J.J. McCarthy gets back healthy. You can evaluate him more throughout this offseason into next year. Then you have your two options without having to commit $150 million to Sam Darnold or whatever it would cost you. The Vikings, that is the smartest decision they could do because it buys you more time to find out who your franchise quarterback is. So I don't foresee J.J. McCarthy or Sam Darnold being available this offseason.
Potentially, Darnold may choose to, franchise tag him. Whether he signs the franchise tag or not, or he makes it difficult for him, in regards to, hey, listen, I'm not showing up and I'm not playing on a franchise tag. Y'all got to give me a long-term deal. Now, he can do that and sort of force their hand in regards to them potentially trading him or not. If I'm Minnesota, if I feel good about J.J. McCarthy and his coming back from his injury and him being fully healthy, then, I am going to entertain Darnold on the trade market.
It's possible.
I give him a franchise tag him and then try to move him.
And that probably would be the only way Sam Darnold is available. I can't see the Vikings just letting him walk for nothing.
But then when you franchise tag him, what is you going to the average is what, $37 million?
Yeah, which is less than his market value is $40 million. Based on spot track, which is not an exact.
I think you're going to – he's always, to me, he's always been in between that 35 to 42, somewhere around there, $1 million.
Yeah.
Regardless, now, if he would won a Super Bowl, then obviously that trumps everything. But based upon his play and based upon his history, I can't see giving him $50 million. But, hey, it only take one team. That's all it takes is one team to give you $50 million. All it takes is for you to sign them to that franchise tag and the team saying, hey, I give you two first-rounders or a first-rounder for them. You know, it only takes one team. The likelihood of that happening is slim, but it only takes one.
That's basically like what Kevin on our text line is saying. He was saying that no one is stupid enough to give a huge haul for number one this year. He said the only person that's stupid is Deion. I don't know. Deion, I wouldn't call Deion stupid to do that. I would call Deion desperate to get his son on his team. But
ultimately, that is a Jerry Jones move. Right. That move would be a Jerry Jones.
That's true. It wouldn't be Deion. Exactly. It would be Jerry hiring Deion, knowing that he's going to have to make a desperate move to move up to one and get Shedeur Sanders. I think the Titans, if they are going to trade this pick, it is going to happen early. Mm-hmm. Because you're going to lose leverage if you go into free agency and you sign Derek Carr, mm-hmm. Kirk Cousins, Aaron Rodgers, somebody who maybe shows that you're not looking to draft a quarterback this year. We were looking it up, the Bears and Panthers trade 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. That happened March 10th, right before the league year started. It was when it was announced. Mm-hmm. So I think if the Titans are going to trade this pick, it's going to happen before the new league year, mm-hmm. and then they can prepare for whatever pick they end up having in that first round. Instead of waiting it out, going through free agency, and then trying to trade it, I think that they're going to try and get the best offers possible as early on as they can.
I think a lot of, before we go to break here, I think a lot of, we know a lot as we get into free agency, because I think free agency will dictate or will tell at least the fan base what the Titans are thinking in this year's draft. If they go out and get a Derek Carr or a quarterback that is good, but more than likely a bridge guy, then I think them moving out of that number one spot is more likely than not.
Unless they sign, if they go and sign maybe a Mac Jones, who's more of a backup kind of guy, maybe you're thinking, okay, that's the guy who's going to back up whoever is the first round pick. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Quickly, before we head to the break, let's go to Chad on our phone lines from Hendersonville with thoughts on this.
Well, this is a great time of the year, and the best thing that the Titan fans have here is, right, we can all play armchair GM, but let me square up a couple things real quick. First of all, Kirk Cousins is washed. I mean, even before his Achilles injury, that guy can't move his feet. He hasn't been able to move the pocket barely at the end of his prime. And if you watch some of the games there with the Falcons at the end, that's a waste. That's going backwards. You go that direction. The caller or texter who said the Vikings would trade a second-round pick for J.J. McCarthy, a guy they drafted and trade up into the top 10, a guy they think is going to be their franchise. They think, Vikings think J.J. McCarthy is the next Tom Brady. They fell in love with him at pre-camp and training camp. And his first game, he played a game of week one. He played a preseason game. He was unbelievable. So they're handing the keys to J.J. McCarthy. And to your point, D-Mace, they may not want Darnold around for that. Do you really want Darnold around if you're really handing the keys to this 23-year-old quarterback who you think is your franchise quarterback? Do you want – we've got to put – every time he makes a mistake, got to put Darnold back in there. So they may be hungry to tag him and try to get a high second or third. If they let him walk, they get the late third comp. But I think they may tag him and trade him. So we got to be real about some of the stuff. And I do like Darnold's game. Remember, 2 weeks ago, he was an NFL – we were talking about MVP candidate, big guy, big arm, who made a lot of plays, came to Tennessee here and was unbelievable. So my question real quick is, your thoughts on Darnold, I know you've talked about it, but can the Titans realistically ask for Micah Parsons and that pick? Is that a possibility? And then if they did that, could they take that 12th pick and move up and maybe add an Abdul Carter? Now you're talking about maybe the best defensive line in football with Simmons, Carter, and Parsons. Your thoughts?
Man, that would be a hell of a defensive line. I'd take it any day of the week.
Parsons and Carter on opposite ends of the line. What do you do?
Good Lord.
Like, offensive lines, you're going to have seven people blocking on every single play.
Man, that's a lot of money you have to dole out of it.
I mean,
hey, listen, if they can make it, if they can make it work, listen, you'd be a fool to know that. To not know it, meaning I know something, but to say no that. That's a hell of a defensive line. Will that come? I think the likelihood of that coming to fruition is probably the same amount of the likelihood of me you know, winning a lottery twice in a row. I mean,
I don't think the Cowboys are going to offer Micah Parsons. And I know Dak has been brought up in a lot of these trades too. That seems slim to none, and Slim just got in a car to leave. Like Dak Prescott, they'd have a $104 million cap hit, dead cap.
They could move. They wouldn't be able to realistically move, you know, him without taking that huge hit. Now, if they don't care about taking a hit, then fine.
I mean, if Jerry's willing to work on 2/3 of a salary cap this year, which I know Jared says the salary cap is fake. It's not fake. It's very malleable, and it becomes a lot less malleable if you have $104 million just dead cap there on the books.
Exactly, that you can't do anything with.
So I really doubt that Dak is going to be included. And I don't know if you saw – you guys might have talked about it yesterday. Mm-hmm. FanDuel tweeted out the Who Says No trade package, and it was just Dak for the number one overall pick and more.
No, mm-mm. Nah.
What?
You got to give me more than that.
Like, Dak is not worth the number one overall pick.
Yeah. If you were giving me Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson's worth the number one overall pick and more.
You give me Mahomes or Josh Allen, then okay.
Yeah.
We can talk. But anybody outside that, and I love the other young quarterbacks that are in the league now, but anybody outside those, well, Joe Burrow, but anybody outside those four, nah.
Yeah, you're telling me you want me to trade the number one overall pick plus a fourth and a sixth, I think is what they had, for a guy who's won one playoff game in his career?
I can't do
that. Maybe two?
And I like Dak, but I can't do that.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that one. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'd love if you continue to share your thoughts on what an ideal offseason looks like for the Tennessee Titans. Do want to mention before we had to break, the Titans just announced about 20 minutes ago they completed an in-person interview with Chiefs assistant GM Mike Borgonzi for the team's general manager position. I believe he is the first of two with Ian Cunningham today. I think the Bears assistant GM is also coming in. Terrence Gray and Ed Dodds went yesterday, and then they'll wrap up with John Spytek from the Bucks and John Eric Sullivan from the Packers tomorrow. So should get some news on the Titans GM for Derek's sake, I hope, by 2 p.m. on Friday.
1:58.
615-737-1025. We'll take a quick break. Jake Lyman, Derek Mason on DVD, 1025, 1063, The Game. Preds fans, don't miss Smashville Live tonight at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs at 6 p.m. See your Predators star players up close and personal, and also get autographs and pictures. Preds player guests will be Jeremy Lozon and Cole Smith. That's tonight at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Jake Lyman, Derek Mason in today on DVD. Let's get back to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is how you can reach us. Adam in Portland is waiting on the line. Adam, go ahead.
What's up, Jake, man? Hey, D-May. So I feel like, man, all right, so you usually have the right answers with this. And I feel like there's not really – there's only one wrong answer. And I think the wrong answer is drafting a quarterback with the first pick. I bet, in my opinion, after watching this season – that's the wrong move. You should not do that. Like, you look back through the history, man, Joey Harrington is a name that I always think of because he was supposed to be great coming out. Christian Ponder is another. Like, there's a lot of dudes, Gabbert, who was supposed to be awesome, but they were played too fast behind crappy lines, man. And you're far more going to see dudes like that than you're going to see somebody like Stroud or Roethlisberger get put in immediately and have success. So I think that's the only wrong move. Like, I don't care what veteran they get. Go get a veteran. We're not going to win this year. You're not going to turn around and be an 11-win team that quick with as many gaps as we have. But my problem would be staying at one, not doing anything, and drafting a quarterback. Just because I think Shador is going to be a good player if he's nurtured. You got to nurture him because he could also be a really bad player. So I'm hoping that he's nurtured and that's not with us.
Thank you, Adam. I appreciate it. So, Adam, I think what I'm gathering is because he said Shador will be a good quarterback, but he has to be groomed and he has to be developed. I don't think Adam believed the Titans can develop a quarterback, which was our first initial question at the beginning of the show. Do you trust that this unit will be able to get a quarterback and develop a quarterback?
Yeah.
So if I take it, Adam doesn't think that. So the smart thing would be, if you don't believe that, then I hope my team moves out of that number one spot, accumulate draft picks, and then draft the best player available at that spot. However far they move down, I would advise them not to move out of the top seven. But if they choose to move down to seven or six, find an impact player.
Yeah.
Because I think after that, there's not going to be – there'll be good players, but if you're talking about what you're projecting, now we always – it's not like we get it 100% right anyway. So there will be some guys that get drafted in the third, fourth, fifth round that end up being impact players for their career.
Right.
But if you're talking about an impact player right now, what we're trying to get, then you need to stay in that upper part of the first round, regardless if you move out or not.
Yeah, if you're picking first overall, you don't want to move down so far that you can't get somebody who can help your team now. Like, the future draft capital is great, mm-hmm. and you want it, but you do have to get – this team needs players.
Yes.
And there are some good ones at the top of the draft, but it isn't a very deep first round. I think it was Charles Robinson mm-hmm. said that some teams only have 8 first-round grades or something like that.
Yeah, and again, listen, every draft is different, I think. I think how you evaluate these kids from draft to draft, even though there are core things that you want to see from an individual if you're going to bring them over onto your organization. But I think still each and every class is its own class. You know, you can't – it's hard. And I know we do it, comparing one draft to the other. But it's really hard to compare last year's draft to potentially what this year's draft's going to be because we didn't see six quarterbacks. Nobody saw. If you're listening to all the pundits out there and analysts, they didn't see six quarterbacks going in the top 10 or 12.
And only offensive players going up until, what, 14?
Exactly.
Was the first defensive player that got taken?
Absolutely. So, listen, I just want them, if indeed they move out of that space, get an impact player and get guys that you believe, and don't compare it to last year's draft and don't try to project next year's draft. Think about the draft today, what my team needs today. If I don't see a quarterback that's worthy of that first or second or third pick, then okay, I'll move down, accumulate picks, get an impact player still, but also I'm in a position to have more picks. And I just may choose to get a quarterback in the second round.
Yeah.
And if you're trading out of that first pick, hopefully you're getting a third-round pick in exchange on top of whatever else you're going to get.
Right. Fill that gap from the Legarius Sneed trade. Quickly on your point about do you trust this this group in the front office and the coaching staff to develop a quarterback, it doesn't matter what we think.
Yeah.
It's what Amy Adams Strunk thinks, and I think she made it pretty clear by keeping Brian Callahan that she does believe that he can develop a quarterback. So the more I think about it, I think the Titans are going to take a quarterback at number one. I don't think it is the best way to build this franchise back. We were talking in the break that the best way is probably bridge quarterback this year, fill in your other big holes, right tackle, get an impact edge rusher like an Abdul Carter, get a safety, get another player at wide receiver who can help out Calvin Ridley on the other side, and then take your quarterback next year. But the more I think about it, I think the Titans are going to fall in love with one of these two quarterbacks, and they're going to take him because, again, how many times do you get the number one pick and a chance to take your quarterback who you think is your guy of the future? I think it's going to be Sanders. Right now, most of the projections are Cam Ward. Dane Brugler came out with a projection today that had Cam Ward going first overall to the Titans. I think it's going to be Shedeur Sanders.
See, drafting, and I'm not going to push back on that. I think on one week, I think it's going to be Shedeur. I love Shedeur.
Yeah, again,
and then
it's
another
only
week,
January.
It's like Cam, okay? So you keep going back and forth. And then obviously, I am sure there will be a third or fourth quarterback that starts to come into the picture. Now, whether they have projected them to be drafted over Shedeur and Cam, I don't know. But there will be a third or fourth quarterback that slowly comes into the picture because we have, what, 3 months before the draft. So a lot of moving and guys sort of, you know, positioning themselves or whatnot in regards to the draft. So, but the Titans are in a position where, listen, if you keep that number one pick, you got to understand this because you don't have many picks. You don't have many picks in this year's draft.
Yeah.
So you got to understand that if I take a quarterback at number one, and don't accumulate picks so I can address my roster. Yeah. If that doesn't work, how much further you set your franchise back?
Right. You're putting all your eggs in that quarterback's basket.
Absolutely. That's what you're saying with the number one. If you keep that number one pick, that's what you're saying.
I'm not saying that's what I want them to do. Uh-huh. I'm saying that's what I think they're going to do.
Yeah, but I'm saying if the Titans choose to they have so many holes to fill, and this roster is depleted of talent, and Bricker has been on record saying we want to accumulate talent through the draft, build through the draft, develop and sign the second contracts. Well, if you draft that quarterback number one, if you do it, great. I hope he hits, but if he doesn't hit, you understand because of the lack of picks that I have.
Yep,
I can set my franchise back even further.
And it's putting the eggs of you have a new stadium opening, you haven't been to the playoffs in 3 years. All of this is going in that one player's basket, and if it's Shedeur Sanders, the ceiling does not exist on how big that pick could be. If he ends up being a star, you immediately make the Titans one of the most talked about franchises. The fan base would get engaged. Mm-hmm. You'd sell out that stadium every single week if he ends up being your franchise quarterback. But if he fails, like you said, you're going to be in an even worse spot moving forward. I think it's going to be Sanders only because this is an overcorrection league. Like we just saw it with the Titans. Mm-hmm. Mike Vrabel. He's the terse, kind of, you know, little bit angry, prickly guy.
Coffee.
So they go and get the nicest guy ever, Brian Callahan, as their next head coach. Cam Ward is Will Levis, basically. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little more mobile. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit more of the dynamic playmaking. Mm-hmm. Will Levis probably had a little more arm strength, but it's similar where the huge plays are there, but the terrible plays are there too, and the decision-making is questionable. Shedeur Sanders is the opposite of where he's accuracy, processing, decision-making, doesn't have the strongest arm, though.
Yeah, Shedeur is, to me, now, I hope no one that is a Shedeur Sanders fan takes this as a slight. To me, he's the safe pick. He is the safe pick.
I think
Why?
So, too.
Because what you saw from him, whether it was at Jackson State or the last 2 years in Boulder, you saw an efficient quarterback, a quarterback that is seeing the field like an NFL quarterback should, a quarterback that has been sort of developed by other NFL coaches. I'm not even talking about his dad. I'm talking about the guy Pat Shurmur, those guys that are on that staff. Pat was a head coach in his league for the Cleveland Browns. He's been in his league for a long time. He understands. I was with him. He was at Michigan State with me for a few years. So I go way back with Coach Shurmur.
Yeah.
So he's had – and Coach Shurmur is a damn good football mind. So you've sort of been groomed to be an NFL quarterback. You don't make egregious mistakes. You can make the big play. Yes, you don't have the strongest of arms. Neither did Drew Brees. I'm not comparing him to Drew Brees, people. I'm not. Adam, I know if you're listening, I'm not comparing him to Drew Brees, okay? What I'm saying is that Drew Brees didn't have the strongest arm, but he could read the field. He was a smart quarterback. That's Shedeur Sanders.
Yep.
He makes the throws that you need him. He sees the field the way he needs to see the field. To me, he's the safe pick because – yeah, he may not have as strong as arm, but you know he's going to do at least the basic things and not mess things up for you.
Yes. And if he is elite at doing that, he'll be a very good quarterback in the NFL.
Exactly.
But the question is, do you take the playmaking and the wow playability of Cam Ward, or do you take, like you said, the safe pick of Shedeur Sanders?
Now, Shedeur has some wow plays.
No, he does too.
Don't get me wrong. That kid... that young man has had some wild plays. And I've watched Shedeur the whole year. One, because they've been on television a lot more.
Yep.
But then two, I've sought out to find, you know, which channel they were on just so I can watch him. He displays that intangible, those intangibles that you need at the quarterback position, the poise, the calmness.
Right.
The ability to sort of not run, but buy time in the pocket.
He moves around the pocket. I went back and watched a few games of his film over the last couple of weeks since the Titans got the number one pick. And the way he moves around the pocket, like we saw Will Levis fade to the left and run into sacks so many times. Shedeur Sanders doesn't do that. He has such great feel for where the rush is coming from and gives himself room to make a pass. That's something that maybe Cam Ward doesn't do as well.
Exactly. And listen, a few years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, probably a little, about 5 years ago, Daniel Jones was the talk of, you know, the draft, one of the talks of the draft. And everybody was blown out of the water because the Giants chose to draft Daniel Jones. But then it was like, oh, he went to the Manning camp. He has, you know, what was the guy that coached all the Mannings?
Cutcliffe.
Yeah, Cutcliffe. Cutcliffe is in his corner, yes. And, you know, wait, they're going to be fine. Obviously, it hadn't worked out the way they wanted it to. And maybe some of it was because the Giants in their franchise, and some of it probably Daniel Jones. This is a guy in Shedeur Sanders. Move his dad out the way for a second. This is a guy that's being mentored by Tom Brady.
Yeah.
That should be enough. If it was enough for everybody when Tom Brady and Cutcliffe, whatever his name is.
Cutcliffe?
Yeah, Cutcliffe. If it was okay when Cutcliffe and Manny was a part of Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
Then it should be, I'm like, oh, wow, Tom Brady, mentor? Okay, I'm good.
This guy has Tom Brady's phone number?
Exactly. He has Tom Brady's ear?
Yep.
Okay, good.
Let's do it.
All right.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We love to hear from you. Final segment coming up. We'll get to Tyler on our phone line coming up next as we wrap up the show on this Wednesday. Jake Lyman, Derek Mason, DVD, 1025-1063, The Game. Final segment, DVD, 1025-1063, The Game. Jake Lyman, Derek Mason in today. Stillman and Company with Jared Stillman coming up next. Wrapping up the show here, we're talking about what the Titans could do this offseason. And, Derek, we've been talking about the number one overall pick. It seems like Abdul Carter already knows. He just tweeted out, number one overall pick, 100 days, hashtag NFL Draft 2025. So, Abdul Carter confident that he will be the Titans pick in April.
Hey, he just might be, but it might not be at number one.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows?
Exactly.
Long way to go.
If they come away with Abdul Carter and another pick, I would be happy.
I think that's a win first round. For the
Titans. Yeah, that's a win.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Let's get to Tyler, who's been waiting patiently on the phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tyler, go ahead.
Hey, fellas, how y'all doing? Enjoy y'all show, favorite show on the planet.
Thank you.
So I have a popular opinion. I know a lot of people have been talking about Dak. You know, that, you know, it's proven, you know, he hasn't really won much. He's put up big numbers in the regular season. He got to the postseason. It's been kind of rough. What do we think about signing Aaron Rodgers, having Levis sit behind him for a year or two, drafting Travis Hunter to go along with Ridley, and maybe Rodgers can teach Levis, you know, not to hold on to the ball so much, not to force, and he can learn from Rodgers. That's just an opinion that I want to hear y'all, what y'all think about it, and I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you for the call. Listen, I'm glad that you love the show and it's your favorite show. We do appreciate that, believe us. Each one of us, Willie, myself, Adam, and Jake, as well as David. But listen, we talked about this yesterday. Not many people are on board with their Aaron Rodgers thing. And I understand it. You know, people are not necessarily his play on the field is what they believe he will bring to the Titans off the field. And my counter has been, listen, maybe the Titans need some, you know, some type of spice put in their coffee or something, you know, to get this franchise jumping. But, listen, I would welcome an Aaron Rodgers it kind of sort of would be a reunion with Brinker because he was in Green Bay. I wouldn't mind seeing Aaron Rodgers, you know, with the two-tone blue on for a year because, again, I look at it from this standpoint. You need somebody at quarterback. You do. Brian Callahan needs somebody that's going to win him football games. I understand what some people are talking about. He, the circus, this and that and that and this. But y'all ain't the one that's head coach. Brian Callahan's the head coach. And they've already said, listen, we want wins. Listen, he understands we got to win. And are you going to win with some of these other quarterbacks we've thrown out? Maybe, possibly. You're going to win with a rookie quarterback? Highly unlikely, but you can.
Possibly.
Yeah, possibly. Listen, if I want to go out, if I'm Brian Callahan, I want to go out sort of my way. Give me Aaron Rodgers. I'll draft a quarterback if you want me to. Draft a quarterback to be that guy after Aaron Rodgers leaves. But give me Aaron Rodgers, because the Aaron Rodgers that I saw in the second half is the Aaron Rodgers that can get us, if we get him, get some picks around him. He's a guy that can lead us to the playoffs.
I don't hate it. Like, I really don't hate Aaron Rodgers as an option here. Mm-hmm. He has a house in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. What's the harm of bringing him in, even if it's not as your starting quarterback? He is a guy with a lot of experience. Mm-hmm. He's won a Super Bowl, and the call Tyler says, have him mentor Will Levis. Mm-hmm. I think the ship has sailed on Will Levis.
I think there's something, not to be a starter. I think there's something still left in Will Levis.
But I don't think the Titans are making any decisions exactly this offseason around Will Levis' development.
Yeah, you're right. Like, you're right about that.
Nothing that they do is about Will Levis at this point. If it's like Ryan Tannehill said when he was asked about mentoring. It's like, if he picks something up along the way, fine. Mm-hmm. But Aaron Rodgers is not being brought in here to be the mentor for Will Levis. If he's brought in, it's either to start or to be the mentor for whoever is picked at quarterback.
Yeah, and listen, he doesn't sit because, you know, the speculation is, well, if you go out and get Rodgers, he's going to want this guy, he's going to want that guy. No. Don't y'all understand? He doesn't sit in the same position of strength anymore. He doesn't. As good as I think Aaron Rodgers still is as a passer, he's not in the position of strength he was in 2 years ago. So, yeah, you talk to him. Just like any other team, we'll talk to him and say, listen, we may not have a quarterback. We're not that desperate. So, if you want to come here, it's not you, your five buddies, and this guy. No, it's you. If we choose to go out and get somebody that you played with, then that's our choice. But you are here to win football games for us. We will take care of the personnel part. You know, that's what I would convince. And I think he's at a point in his career like he would probably say, okay, let's do it. As long as you set this team up to win, I'm good.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, when he went to the Jets, they gave him the LeBron cheat.
Exactly.
When he was the player, the coach, and the GM. Like, he goes out and makes all the decisions. That's not what Aaron Rodgers is looking for anymore. No one's going to offer that to Aaron Rodgers anymore.
No, he was Aaron GM, Aaron,
Aaron
coach.
Aaron GM, Aaron coach.
Exactly.
Aaron
he was everything. But he doesn't sit in that place. And that's what people got to understand. He doesn't sit in that space of leverage anymore. So if he doesn't sit in that space of leverage, this is an opportunity to go to him and say, hey, listen, if the Jets choose not to bring him back, because I think it was a 2-year deal and they can bring him back for the second year, but they will owe him a buttload of money.
Yeah.
So they got to either, you know, make their decision and move on or not.
I can't see them wanting to bring him back. Yeah, it feels like that's a natural breaking point for them. It's up to Aaron Rodgers. Uh-huh. Does he want to keep playing? Does he want to retire? Exactly. I think that's where it starts.
That would be the thing. If I'm bringing Aaron in, it's one, he doesn't come in a position of strength. But then two, do you still want to play this game? And I think that potentially playing with Brian Callahan, playing under Brian Callahan, that may just rejuvenate him. Because I think that's what he was looking for with the Jets, is to be rejuvenated.
Yeah.
And then the Achilles happens. And all of a sudden, then he goes downhill. And then he comes back this year, and he starts off very slow. Team's not winning. But then also, he started to pick it up. And I think you started to see some of the happiness. I think he just wants to go somewhere now where he can enjoy playing football again. And I think Brian Callahan can make that happen for him here. Because, again, Brian understands that this may be it for him here. And I got to win right now.
And out of the quarterbacks available, Aaron Rodgers might give you the best chance to do that.
Yes, absolutely.
That'll do it for us. D-Mace, thanks for letting me hang out for the last couple
problem,
hours.
No problem, man. Anytime I told you, man. You're the greatest point guard, man. When you got to step in, you do it, man. You do it at a high level.
It's been a blast. That'll do it for us. DVD wrapping up on this Wednesday. Jared Stillman next. Stillman and Company here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
Be love on your people. Have a blessed, safe, and wonderful Wednesday. Peace.